direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes.
Do you know it took me a second to figure out what you were doing? I know why we're here, and I still, I was like, what?
Mad Game, episode 8 of Mad Game. We don't even pay attention to our own numerical system here. Welcome back to the Superiority. This is my second podcast of the day. I couldn't say the name of the show the first time. I still haven't decided which is going to be released first, Mad Game or the new episode of the full episode of the Superiority Complex. So that's out now. So listen for that. Look for that in your feed.
You just said you're not sure which one you're going to release.
But you know, it's out there. The Dodgers just got blanked by the Reds. 5-0. Ryu was our pitcher. Gave it up. The Kings are down going into the third period. 2-1 in game 4. I feel like they're going to come back and do it tonight, but I could be wrong. But you know what? We were at home watching the hockey game, and we're like, you know what? We have to record Mad for our people.
Yes.
We have to talk about Mad Game. We have to talk about this week's episode of Game of Thrones. And while a lot happened,
Not a lot happened.
The story didn't advance that much. So we can really do this is actually going to be probably one of the shortest ones we've done. Nicole, I see, has a lot of notes over there, but she also writes very big. Oh, look at that.
I have paper today.
You almost took your own eyeball out there.
Yes. Too bad it's not a video podcast.
Too bad, because that would have been hilarious.
Entertainment.
Okay, so what was the name of it? Did we get the name of the episode?
No.
The name of the episode was Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. the Hoth version. The Hoth edition. I'm going to say I like this episode, but it was easily the weakest episode of the season.
Yeah. When it was over, Mom looked at me and went, yeah, that wasn't good.
I wouldn't say it wasn't good, but I think what happened is they were building so much to the idea that the Wildlings were going to get to the wall. And that you had to kind of pay some kind of, like, you had to give it something of an ending. But it's weird because I guess, you know, there's really no resolution because it's like they lived through the night.
Yeah.
You know, they lived through the night. And, you know, basically, they are basically kind of in a zombie movie. So, you know, they lived through the night. And there were some impressive scenes, especially for a movie with a TV show budget. That, you know, they were able to pull off some of these scenes that were very cinematic, and it was very shot very well. And there was a lot of what happens sometimes in these big battle scenes in movies is that if you don't have a director who knows what he's doing, it's very easy for you to get lost as far as what's going on where.
Yeah.
But you were always very aware of the geography of what was going on, what part of the wall they were on, and how, you know, where they were in relation to other people on the wall and how it all worked. But again, we really don't have a lot to cover. That, like, a lot happened, but we really didn't advance the story that much. Did you like this episode?
I did. I liked it. Again, it wasn't my favorite episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't Joffrey dying or Tyrion giving the speech, but mm-hmm. it was a good episode. And
it certainly wasn't people getting their heads, you know, exploded or crushed like so many grapes.
Okay.
Grapes. That was a little Thomas Bailey.
That's a throwback to the earlier episode.
But I like the episode. I just don't have a lot to say about it. And let's see what you have in your notes.
So, you know, it opened up with Sam and John.
Mm-hmm. Whom I'm always tempted to call Samwise
Gamgee. Yeah.
We basically, you know.
Because it's Samwell or something like mm-hmm. that. So, yeah, it's. I want to call him Samwise too.
Yeah. It's always Sam, but he basically kind of plays the same role, you know, as Samwise.
I thought it was funny how they were talking about, he was talking about the vows
mm-hmm.
and saying like,
he finds a loophole.
Like, you know. It says I won't take a wife. It says I won't have children, mm-hmm. but it doesn't say I can't get a little something, something.
That's it. So typical fat guy trying to play those angles.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. He's thought about it. He's definitely thought about it.
Yeah.
And, it was nice. You know, it is nice because Sam is always a nice character to get back to, and you feel bad for him, and he's managed to survive this long. God bless him.
Yeah.
And, how he's not dead yet, I don't know, but, you know, fat people usually don't do well in these situations. There's the other fat kid, the other fat kid that was Arya's friend, and we saw him a couple of weeks ago. He baked that little
biscuit.
The biscuit for Arya in case they ran into her. But he's the only other one. Everybody else kind of like just, well, no, there's Master Varys is.
But he ain't doing a lot of fighting.
But he's fat, and that gives me hope.
Like, but with Sam, though, he's kind of the, you know, he kept that one kid calm. Mm-hmm. And was like, look, you have a job to do, and here's how, you know, it's going to go down. And, and then even when he got shot, he was like, just let it go. Like, you're going to make it worse if you don't. So.
Yeah. That was a really tough scene to watch. And, but again, you always feel like, even though he always gets thrown in the situation, he always like handles himself very, very well. And you always expect him to be like a full on coward, or you expect him not to be able to handle stuff like this. And he always, you know, he's always able to,
he may not be the fighter, but he definitely contributes.
Exactly. And so he,
and he did kill the White Walker.
He did kill the White Walker
to protect his woman.
And they asked him, they said, how did you do it? And, and then you have the whole thing. He's basically got a family he's looking after. It's not his family, but he's looking after family, he finally kisses the buck tooth girl. And so that was, she does. She's got like the,
I've never really noticed.
Oh yeah. She's got like the overbite. It's either an overbite or the buck teeth. I can't tell which one it is, but go back and look. She's got those. She looks like the characters in Wallace and Gromit. You know, the people in Wallace and Gromit always have that overbite. And then, you know, you get to see Jon Snow, and apparently, you know, the buzz on the internet is that, you know, the guy, Kit Harington, who plays Rob Snow, is not a good actor. He's boring. I just think that he's a somber character. I don't think it has anything to do with him. You know, he's kind of like this, you know, he's a bastard son, and now he's joined the Night's Watch. What does this guy have to be happy or emotive about?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, there's nothing there.
And even, you know, in the guard, people are against him.
Yeah. In the Night's Watch. Yes.
You know, so he's kind of screwed all the way around.
Yeah.
He's got like a couple of faithful people who trust in him.
Yeah.
And other than that, you know, everybody's against him.
Not a lot going on. And so you kind of just, you know, you want him. This is a great moment for him because there's that really great moment where the guy who's in charge of the Black Watch, he's been around for a while, but I can't think of his name. Mm. I do love the scene where he comes in. He says, look, you know, I knew we should have sealed the tunnel. But I disagreed with you because, you know, I don't like you. He's basically admitting that, you know,
that he was wrong.
He was wrong. But he also gave him a reason for it, and then was, you know, was basically like, look, you're still a little whatever he called him, you know, and that was a big part of the reason that he didn't want to seal the tunnel. He didn't want him to be right, which, you know, you have to question it. But I like the fact that we're gonna die, so I might as well just lay it all out there.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. And what happened to him?
They scooched him off when he got his leg cut.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how bad that injury is and if he's still alive, but because you don't see him.
Mm-hmm. I was not paying. I kind of do this a lot when I'm watching the show, and I do this with a lot of shows where I need to watch them twice because I'll zone out, especially.
You just come home from work.
I come home from work pretty late and I watch. We end up watching Game of Thrones. Sometimes it's after midnight when we sit down to watch it.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, especially if it's like something where there's a slow scene, sometimes I'll just drift off. Somebody made mention of the fact that the master, I can't think of his name, the master at the Knights of the Castle Black, when he's telling that story to Sam about when they're exchanging stories about their first love,
mm-hmm.
that he mentions that he's a Targaryen.
Yes, he did.
I did not catch that.
Yeah. He did mention that. And I was like, really? He's a Targaryen? Like, oh.
Hmm.
Yeah, he does say that.
But he's thrown off the... He's thrown off... He, you know, he's a knight's... He's part of the Night's Watch now.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he... That means he can't be... Maybe he's got the dragon blood in him.
Maybe.
Maybe he's got some powers.
Because there was no sign... I mean, obviously, he can't do anything. So he was probably held up somewhere. You know, he can't be in the fight.
Yeah, and then you had the... You had... The, like, what's his name? The dude from the Kingsguard was like, you know... You guys are so uncivilized, everything, and he was hiding out the whole time.
Mm-hmm. So, the woman.
The battle was really, really, was really, really well done. The difficult thing is medieval combat. I don't know that there was a lot of variation in the way things like that are done. So even though obviously this is a fantasy realm, it's kind of based on, you know, we're basing the tactics and everything on what we know from our history. And so... we've seen a lot of these movies. We've seen movies like Lord of the Rings, also a fantasy, but, you know, same tactics. Or we've seen movies like Braveheart, things like that, where these sort of battles take place. And so I think for a lot of people that I've talked to, this felt like, oh, this was just, you know, a Lord of the Rings, or this was just, you know, another. And it's hard not to fall into that trap, but I think it was very well done. And they had a few surprises, you know, the whole, you know, the thing with, you know, the giants getting involved and, you know. Yeah,
giants on mastodons.
Was it a mastodon or a woolly mammoth? I had this debate with somebody.
Oh, I don't know. I said mastodon. But
I like that you used the term mastodon, because everybody usually says woolly mammoth, but I tend to think they're mastodons. I don't know what the difference is over there. What's that? What's not a paleontologist? If there's anybody with Google out there. Let us know the difference between mastodon and a woolly mammoth. But yeah, those were some cool scenes, and the giants are obviously very formidable.
Yeah.
You know, they were firing, you know, launching a guy with an arrow. Somebody on the Nerdist did the math, and in order to generate that kind of force, the arrow would have to be fired at nearly supersonic speed. So there you go. You know, they're firing almost would be like a bullet. And there were some of the scene with the scythe coming down and just scraping, you know, the climbers off the wall, like bugs off a windshield. That was amazing. And
yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Again, there was a lot of eye candy, but we didn't really progress the story. We got to a point where we thought we would be. And then at the end of the episode, we're left with the idea that Jon Snow is about to go and, he's going to go try to take out Mance Rayder, who I still maintain
is a stupid name,
is a dumb name, because it's what he does. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just don't know why it bugs me.
I did get a little lost because there were like the cannibal dudes all kind of look alike. So there was kind of like the lead cannibal dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he got killed.
All the Hills Have Eyes people.
Yeah. And then he got killed again. I was like, oh,
that was a different cannibal.
Yeah. But because they're all, you know.
And we got to talk about the most notable death this week, but we'll get to that in a minute. But they're really playing up. And here's an interesting thing, you know, Hiddish brought us that. And I this is the genius of a Hiddish Patel. He asks, you know, one of the talking points last week was, how can a bastard rise to, I'm phrasing it wrong, but basically, how can a bastard rise to be, you know, become, you know, to a higher level? And I thought, because that's what the episode entailed last week, I thought we were talking about what's his name,
Slashy.
Yeah. The guy, the circumciser. I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name.
Bolton.
Yeah.
And you know his bastard son.
But and I think, made him like a son.
Yeah, and I think what's really happening is Hiddish is just trying to let us know, like, hey, Jon Snow is about to get to that level where he's, you know, he's about to really, you know, what is Jon Snow going to do to get that title? And whether, I mean, obviously there's no one who can give it to him, but he's going to earn it. I feel like he's going to earn the fact that he's a Stark, and he's going to go handle this. You know, it's kind of when he says, you know, I'm going to go kill Mance Rayder, and they go, you know, Sam asks him, well, you know, what if you die? He's like, you know, this is something I have to do. I'm paraphrasing, but it reminded me of the speech that Ned gives in the very beginning when he tells Bran, you know, I'm the one that has to do it. When somebody, I'm the one that has to lay down the law. I'm the one that has to pass the judgment and do it. You know, I can't have anyone do it in my place. And so I see a lot of that in
yeah, I mean, he was definitely raised as a Stark with all the Starks.
I see that in Jon Snow where he's like, I've got to be the one to go and try to take out because who else is going to do it?
Yeah.
You know, who among here is going to, you know, and is, I don't know if that's vanity or it just feels like, look, somebody's got to do it. It's got to be me. You know, is he just resigned to it? But
well, and I think because he infiltrated, he kind of has an inside track, mm-hmm. whereas none of the others lived with him and knows what he knows firsthand, at least.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, I think he's the obvious choice, mm-hmm. even if he isn't a Stark.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that. I really, you know, I really feel like we're going to see a turning point for Jon Snow. And I feel like maybe.
What are bastard children not from the North called?
I don't know. Well, who else was a bastard? What's his name? Was it the Baratheon's bastard? What do they call him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Remember, Baratheon had that bastard son who, I think he just took the name of.
But he doesn't know. He didn't know at the time he was the king's bastard.
That's
so
right. I don't know.
They kept him hidden from
the king. Probably have another name like bastard. I like that we can say bastard a lot and it's not, we're not even getting in trouble. you dirty bastards. That just means it's your illegitimate children who have not had a bath. You're not saying anything. You're not swearing. Yes, I think, I feel like that's the kind of the thing that Hiddish was trying to get us to, Hiddish was trying to like point out to us like, hey, let's start looking at what these, you know, what a bastard would need to do in this world to kind of rise above and be. So I don't know if that's true Hiddish, but that really got me thinking to, got me comparing,
yeah,
you know, the way the bastards, and then wouldn't it be awesome if, you know, that if Jon Snow does this and, you know, he becomes, you know, maybe he's king of the North or whatever, and then he's got to fight the other bastard and it's like Battle of the Bastards.
I don't think he'll be king of the North.
I don't know.
I think that goes to Bran.
Speaking of kings, I'm checking in on the score. Keep going.
There's no score. No change.
No change in the score. All right.
So you want to talk most notable?
No, most notable death.
Killed by the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a little like, oh.
But you know what? First of all, it's Ygritte.
That scene bugged the out of me.
Why?
Because as all this melee is going on around them, he's just going to hold her as she dies and nobody's going to attempt to attack him. Like when they pull away, like they're right on the edge of it. They're not hidden. They're not in a corridor. Mm-hmm. Like it's going on around them.
Yeah.
How does nobody see John and take the opportunity? Like that was just a little too romanticized.
Yeah, but you know what? That tends to happen in a lot of
like
movies.
I was really expecting somebody to come up and just like chop his head off.
Yeah, with a sword. Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be so great. Just like, oh, you weren't paying attention, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because for this chick.
We've all played enough, like in our you've been enough to play enough tag or dodgeball or whatever in school to know the second nobody's paying
attention.
Don't let
your guard down.
You never let your guard down.
Yeah.
But Ygritte, I think, had a, you know, she hesitated and she paid the price, and whether or not she was going to kill him, you figure if she was going to do it, she was going to do it right when she saw him. But maybe the shock.
See, she had the opportunity when he ran away, and she didn't. She put three in him, but
that
she
is true.
I mean, you saw her throughout that battle. It took her one arrow to take people down.
Yeah.
She could have easily taken out Jon Snow at that moment. She chose not to because she loved him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think she would have. I don't think she would have done it. You know, she let Samwise's girl go the week mm-hmm. before, which we didn't discuss. But
yeah, that's
I
true.
That was a pretty
poignant
scene.
Maybe we didn't talk about that, but she did do that. And you're not sure why. You're not sure exactly why. You know, maybe she's not completely. You know, maybe she does have mercy. You know, not all wildlings.
Yeah.
Are, you know, completely. And that's the thing about the wildlings is that they're wildlings, is that they're so disparate a group that you don't know, you know, obviously the cannibals weren't going to let her go.
Yeah.
They would have never let her go. But I think also that little boy too, I thought it was, at first you're kind of, I don't know how I felt. I don't know if I wanted her to die or not. I wasn't expecting her to die at that moment. Until that scene played out. I wasn't expecting her to die during that battle. I thought there was going to be a little bit more. But then once she saw him and she paused, I'm like, oh, here it comes. Someone's going to get her. And sure enough, it was the boy. And you know, that at least that little boy got some closure because, like, he remembers her from the group of people that yeah. came and ate his family. So
yeah,
that's as happy as an ending as you're going to get on Game of Thrones for that kid. And now he'll probably die of some horrible disease because he got nicked during the battle.
Yeah.
With, like, a rusty sword. Now he's going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now he's going to die a slow, painful death. But, yeah, I all in all, you know, thumbs up to the episode. But again, I didn't feel like a lot went on.
Yeah. It was jam-packed, constant
jam-packed.
You know, movement, motion. All
we lost a couple of secondary characters that we've kind of grown to know
yeah.
at the wall, fighting the giant. And listen, guys, if a giant is running at you and you know he can take down a massive gate, don't stand directly behind the gate. Maybe give it some leeway. Let him get past the gate. Then when he's tangled up in it, you go in there and you just whack him with his swords as many times as you can before he finally takes you down. But they all died fine. They took him down, though.
Yep. They got him.
They got him. The, you know, but...
You know, and when John goes out, he's not armed. Which, it's like, okay, how do you plan on... Because he gives his sword to Sam.
That's true. But I think he plans to just maybe... Oh, sorry for the yawn, but I think he plans to just maybe... That's what he's going to try to do is use that element of surprise.
Yeah, maybe.
Surprise and fear. Fear and surprise. Three main. I'm doing Monty Python now. So, yeah, all in all, great episode for action. And, you know, eye candy, not so great episode for moving the plot forward.
Yeah. You
know,
and then you see, like, the preview for tomorrow or next week's episode, this week's episode. And it's like, is that thing going to be 2 hours long? Because there's tons of stuff that they're previewing. Like,
cannot wait.
Yeah. It's like, what? Like, where? I don't know.
I can't wait. Yeah, I don't think, going back to Ygritte, I wasn't happy or sad to see her go. You know, her arc had ended, and that was the best way to do it. And now I don't know what John's going to do. I don't know if he truly loved her or he just thought he loved her or, you know.
If she was just a convenience.
It's so misogynistic, though. I do have to dive in here real quick for the fact that, you know, it's kind of like that male fantasy of, like, you know, because of what he did.
Mm.
You know, oh, yeah, she's in love with him now. It's like, you know, she's all whipped on him because of, it's like, come on, guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he tamed this savage beast because, you know, because he was, you know.
Oh, goodness. That's ridiculous.
One quick trip to downtown and it's all. Just visiting the downtown area was enough to make
it. Did he go for ramen?
Okay, guys. That is. This episode is not going to get any better than that. So with that, we're going to say goodnight. And this is a short episode, but we only had one episode to cover, and it was mostly one big battle. So there wasn't a lot to cover this week, but it was a good episode all in all. My vote for weakest of the season, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. It just
weakest in a really strong season.
Yeah,
so.
And so, you know, it's just you basically, the whole thing was occupied with one battle, so we didn't go any further. So until next week, guys, this is the shortest episode yet of our podcast, clocking in at just under 22 minutes, or just under 23 minutes. By the time I'm done wrapping up, it'll probably be more like 27 or 28. But the Kings are still down with 5 minutes to go, and we will see what happens. 2-1, hopefully by the next – oh, 2 minutes, 53 seconds in the third, and the Kings are still down 2-1. So hopefully by the time you hear us, our voices again – they will have wrapped this thing up and come on home. So until next time, for my lovely wife, I will say that this transmission ends now. Do 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 do